All right, let's start again. How many household walls do you suppose rang with these words this morning? I don't want to go to church this morning. Be honest, how many of you said that to yourselves? Although, I suppose if someone actually said that and then acted on the impulse, they wouldn't be here to hear that anyway. So, someone gave me a cartoon once, three panels. First panel is a woman dressed, ready at the door, everything set to go, and she says over her shoulder, I know you don't want to go to church this morning, but you have to. Next frame is a man still getting dressed, putting his tie on, trying to get everything set together to go. And he says, give me one good reason why I have to go to church. And in the last frame, we see both of them as she says, because you're the pastor. Friends, I understand the impulse to sleep in, to not go, but I'm the pastor, so I'm here. It has been said that the church is always one generation away from extinction. And as we look around today at some of the mainline churches, we can see the truth in this statement. There are smaller congregations, churches closing, denominations shrinking, and there is panic in many places in the Christian world of faith, especially in North America and Europe. And as we watch this happening, we can't help but wonder about our own church. You have asked these questions, and we will continue to ask these questions. The church, the continuing education event that I'm going to is about trying to understand and answer some of these questions. So, will the next generation, people with children at home, will they find time and energy to commit to being a part of a church family? Will our young adults find houses of worships where they will study and live? Will our children have faith? And if they do, who and what will it be in? And how will they live that faith out? Today's epistle reading, we learn that Timothy was a very, very young man who came to play a key leadership role in the life of the early church. According to Paul, Timothy's faith was strong and sincere. Well, where does such faith come from? Well, firstly, it's a gift from God. Those are the best gifts. But it is a gift acknowledged and well tended by his family, from his mother and his grandmother particularly. Paul is clear to make the connection between the family's efforts and Timothy's devotion to Jesus Christ. But how did the family pass on their faith to Timothy? Well, first and foremost, friends, they lived it. As Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. Timothy's mother and grandmother lived out a sincere faith in front of Timothy, and I would venture to say everyone else they encountered. And seeing that kind of faith, that way of living, well, it has deep impact on the people who are watching, because faith is caught far more than it's taught. So as we continue our discussion of what it is that disciples do, how we live out our faith in the living God in this wackadoodle world, one of the most important things we can do is take our faith with us when we go home. See, when you leave this sanctuary, I don't want you to tuck your faith in behind the cushions in the pews and leave them there for next time, because we might be crowded and you might not get your regular seat and somebody else may get your faith. Take your faith home. Take it home with you wherever you've been on any given day, no matter the stressors or disappointments or heartaches or even your successes. Live out your faith. Live it out in the conversations you have with others, whether it's in person or on social media or on the phone, especially on social media. I came from a home in which there was no separation between the Sunday morning liturgy and the prayers my parents said, or the Sunday school lessons I was taught and the lessons that they expected me to live out. Their Christian ethic in public was the same as it was in private. And I saw that. Because when we live out our faith in front of our families and friends and co-workers and the world, people see it. They notice it. They become curious about it. Even begin to absorb it in some ways. And finally, maybe, they realize that it is a gift for them as well. So perhaps it sounds basic and too simple for those who have been longtime believers. Perhaps. But I think a faith checkup is as important as any other kind of checkup. A health checkup or a dental, automobile insurance, whatever is important to you, you check on it time to time, and you should your faith as well. So when was the last time you examined your life of faith? Let's start with, when was the last time you had a bad day? How did you handle it? See, I know, trust me, I know, it can be tempting to want to just hang up our faith for the evening. If we've had a rough day, to just say, forget it, I'm not helping out with anything, or I'm just going to hibernate in my cave in front of the computer, or whatever else it is we do to forget the day. But aren't we glad that God doesn't say, forget it, I've had a hard day, leave me alone, don't bug me. In fact, I'm not even going to think about you tonight. But living out our faith, while it's important, it isn't enough, because faith must be taught to by speaking and listening. We have to teach the faith. We have to think about it. If we don't speak about the faith that informs our actions, how will people know that it's God's love through Jesus Christ that motivates and drives us? Millions of people do good and kind things every day. But our witness as Christians calls us to tell about our faith as we do those good and kind things every day. And so Paul writes, from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It is critical that we share how our faith makes a difference in our daily life. It's vital that children and grandchildren hear our stories of faith in every situation so that they too will know that faith makes a difference in their struggles as well. Talk about it with them. Pray about it with them. Explain it every time they ask. It has been my privilege to baptize children in this congregation. When a child is baptized in the church, friends, all of us make vows to help raise that child in the faith. Passing on our faith is about all of us, not just their parents, not just me, all of us. Because we make promises to God and to the children and to the family and to each other that we will teach the faith of Jesus Christ so that they in turn will teach the faith and on through the generations. Do you remember the promises you make when anyone is baptized? Child, youth, adult. The promise we make is this. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture this child or adult by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church? I know I make a little joke about this when I carry the child around the sanctuary, reminding you that you've promised to help teach them the faith, like as Sunday school teachers or children's church helpers, vacation Bible school volunteers. But just because I tease doesn't mean I don't take it seriously. And you should too. I promise you that every one of you has some opportunity to influence the faith of a child. I tried to count it up, and I believe that we have had 9 baptisms in this church since I came. What have you done to keep your promises to those children? Have you reached out in love and prayer the way you promised? Have you encouraged them? Have you spent time with them or their families? Or do we just sit here and wonder why they aren't in church? Friends, if we don't reach out, it's not their fault they're not in church, it's ours. Taking your faith home means that what happens in church cannot stay in church. Friends, this is not Las Vegas. It is the community of faith to which God has invited you and everyone around you to be a part of. So we can be a part of that great invitation by living our faith, talking about our faith, and keeping the promises that we have made. Good news is it's never too late to start again. Faith is contagious. Let's help someone catch it. Amen.